Look over here, and as we look, continue our study here in Acts chapter 22 about the conversion and salvation, conversion, salvation, and call of Saul, or the Apostle Paul, as you all know. We left off last time, taking a look at this thing of that Ananias as Paul there on the steps of that castle there in Jerusalem, being held now by the Roman soldiers. The crowd, the folks there, those zealous Jews there in Jerusalem, they cried in chapter 21, verse 36, for the multitude of the people followed after, crying, "Away with him, away with him." They want rid of him. They want him dead. They want his mouth stopped. They want the things that he does stop. And yet, the Apostle Paul, being so zealous and so filled with the call of the Lord upon him, he's a man called to be a missionary to the Gentiles, and we're going to take a look at that tonight, Lord willing. But when he has any opportunity, he uses it for the benefit of telling about how the Lord saved him, about the gospel, about the need of salvation, and that salvation is through Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And he takes that opportunity. So they've beaten him, they want him dead, and he says, "Can I speak to the people? And will you let me speak to them?" And he speaks to them in Hebrew, and he tells about this. And we took a look at what Paul quotes Ananias in saying, and we saw it over in Acts chapter 9. We reviewed that in verse 16 about this scripture here. It's used by some to declare baptismal regeneration, and we know that that's not so. It can't be. Amen. If you take a look at the other scriptures, and we tried to point that out and see that last time, that we've got to take all the scriptures about a subject and take them and put them together. Okay? Take them to put them together to understand what is being said. We need to remember that it is such with the scriptures, I believe, as it was in the day of the Lord. How was it with Jesus? He would preach, wouldn't he? He would preach. And some in their minds, if you will, would hear one thing, and some would hear another thing. And the disciples came to the Lord, and he would teach in parables, wouldn't he? He would say, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he said, "Well, there's a purpose in that, that hearing they might not hear, and that seeing they may not see." And I think that with the way the Lord has brought the scripture to us here in our language and in the English language, if we just take particular passages and don't understand what other passages are saying, that same kind of thing can happen. Right? Because there's many, but we know that of one that we touch up close to here in this part of the country, it was a different religious group or denomination, if you will, that we would touch up against that believed in baptismal regeneration, and where we came from, okay, in Missouri, we would run into Universalists, to Catholics there, and different quote-unquote Protestant denominations that believed in baptismal regeneration. Here it's a different crowd, and the Campbellites, the Church of Christ, as they call themselves, that we run into them. And they've taken these couple of scriptures, without consideration of the other scriptures, and they've made an entire doctrine foundation, you know, as far as another denomination, have gone and run with it. And as we said, we don't mean any ill will to those folks. Well, they need to be saved just like I needed to be saved. Yeah. And that's our desire for them, not to run anybody down, but to speak the truth. Speak the truth. Speak the truth in love, and that men, women, boys, and girls might see the truth, and that they might see that salvation is in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so he said, he quotes Ananias here, "And now why tarriest thou?" In verse 16, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." He's talking about repentance. He's talking about baptism, showing what's been done. And we looked at those things last time. Let's pick it up in verse 17. "And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem," okay, Paul speaking, he's giving this orderly account of his a call of the Lord dealing with him, speaking with him, saving him, touching him, calling him to the ministry that he had for him, "that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance and saw him," that is the Lord, right? "Saw him saying unto me, 'Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Okay? He said it just won't be. This had been another time that Paul had been in Jerusalem. Let's take a look real quick over into Acts chapter 9 and see with this, and I encourage you as we go through this study, remember Acts chapter 8, remember Acts chapter 9, namely, and remember this Acts chapter 22, and I'll tell you in advance, we're going to go to Galatians chapters 1, 2, and 3, okay? We're going to go there, or chapters 1 and 2, and read those so you can take this thing about the Lord's call upon the Apostle Paul, upon Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, and so we can take those things and be able to fit them together and understand more about him and the Lord's call upon him. That's the purpose for this study, and as we go through it, we'll have different things that we'll deal with as we go. But here in Acts chapter 9, he says, Ananias appeared to him and came to him, okay? And then he says he went to Jerusalem, and these Jews that he's talking to there on the steps of the castle, and he says about being in Jerusalem, how he was in the temple in a trance, and saw the Lord saying to me, get out of Jerusalem, because they're not going to receive your testimony yet. Look here in Acts 9. Acts chapter 9. Let's back up to verse 23. This is the direct account by Luke, okay? And after that many days were fulfilled, Acts 9:23, the Jews took counsel to kill Paul, okay? But their laying in wait was known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. And Paul, Saul, it's all synonymous, okay? Realize it's the same man. I may use one or the other, but here his name is still Saul. That's how he's referred to. Then the disciples took him by night, let him down by a wall in a basket. Okay, the wall in a basket. And Saul, when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself. Where was he let down in the basket from? Damascus. Okay? And then from Damascus, he goes to Jerusalem. It tells us this here plainly. He essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas was there. Okay, somewhere along the way, somewhere in the meantime, Barnabas hears him, speaks to him, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, verse 27, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way. Somehow he met Barnabas, whether at Jerusalem, whether at Damascus, or somewhere along the way. And then we know Barnabas from the account of the scripture that he's there at Jerusalem, okay? He was named by the apostles the son of consolation. He had lands, he sold them. And some of you brethren, if you can give answer to it, where's Barnabas from? Remember that? Huh? Cyprus, the little Isle of Cyprus. We know that later in Acts because he gets John Mark and goes back home for a time. Okay, and that's just a detail. It's not. My purpose in asking that is I want to stimulate you. Okay, I don't want to embarrass anyone. I'm not looking to do that. But I want us to get a hold of it. Okay, and be stimulated about it. So, well, Brother Jim, what's it matter about Barnabas being from Cyprus? Well, the Lord put it in here for a reason. Helping to see that it's a real account of real people and the Lord really dealing with them. Just like where you live, and where you work, and the people that you deal with is who you deal with. The Lord shared that with us here. And so that just helps us to put it together. It makes it real to us. Barnabas takes him, declares unto the apostles how Saul had seen the Lord in the way, that he had spoken to him, and how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus, okay? And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus there in Jerusalem, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Okay? Here, back in Acts chapter 22, is another piece of that account about him being there at Jerusalem, okay? It's another thing. That time, it seems, from what we understand, when Barnabas took him, he first met the apostles, and he preached, disputed with the Grecians. They went about to kill him. The Lord, he was in the temple during that time, as we see in Acts chapter 22, and the Lord says, get out of Jerusalem quickly. Get quickly out of Jerusalem, for they'll not receive your testimony concerning me. Okay, so back in Acts 22, And verse 19, look at this. Paul never gets over this. And I tell you what, the Lord, the people that the Lord used to carry the word of God to you, as long as we have our right mind, we remember them. They didn't save us, but the Lord used them to be a witness to us. The Lord used them to carry the gospel to us. The Lord used them to say, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you that the Lord will save your soul. And they let us know that they cared and they were concerned and they wanted that for us. And we don't forget those folks. I mean, as long as we have our memory, you don't forget those folks. Look at what Paul says about this. And I said, Lord, he's making a plea with the Lord when the Lord tells him this. They know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. Lord, I want to tell these folks different. They know how I was before, but I want to tell them the truth. I want them to see and be saved also, like you have saved me, like you used even Stephen. And I just can't forget how you used Stephen to preach to me. He didn't forget it, did he? And I think there's other things that as you read through those books, I want to plant that seed in your mind about those books that Paul writes, that we know that the Apostle Paul used of the Lord to write. I want to plant that seed there in your mind. As you read those books, be on the lookout for those things that Paul mentions about those that were used to be a witness to him. He says a thing here. He says a thing there. Because he never forgot them. He never forgot those that the Lord used, I believe. And as it is with us, those folks are special to us. The Lord always uses means. And we remember the means that he uses, don't we? And the Lord saves us. That is the case. The Lord saves us. But here, Paul is remembering that. He says, I want to stay and witness to him, Lord. Verse number 21. And he said unto me, you know, it's okay to ask the Lord in a right way, in a right spirit, for what we want. The Lord's leading in a way. May the Lord help us not to say absolutely, positively not. Okay, let us not do that. But Lord, are you sure? We need to be of the mind that at the end of what we save, nevertheless, thy will be done. But he wanted to stay there and witness to those that he'd come from. He knew about all of his life that he had lived in front of Jerusalem that was against the Lord. And he wanted to have a witness and a testimony of being for the Lord.
Amen.
He desired that. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. He's saying, son, I've got something for you to do. There's a people for you to preach to. There's a people for you to witness to. But right now, these aren't it. Depart. Depart. For I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Now remember that Paul has told this. This has been an oratory. He's spoken all these things that we've looked over in this chapter to those folks that are listening to him off of those castle steps. Okay? So he tells this. And what's the last word out of his mouth here? Gentiles. Verse 22. And they gave him audience unto this word. The word Gentiles. And I understand it was his statement. But his statement ended with that word Gentiles. What was the reason that they had a quarrel with him in the first place, they thought? He took a Gentile into the temple. And there it is, hey, people. We're so predetermined in our thinking. It's one of those things of humanity. May God help us that we not just be set about what we think we're going to hear. You know what I'm saying? They were set about what they thought they were going to hear. And when they heard the word Gentile, they're off. They're off like a shot. They didn't listen to him. When we do need to listen. We do need to hear what's being said. They gave him audience into this word, and they lifted up their voices and said, how quiet had they been? Verse number 2, and when they had heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. They got pin drop silence out in the street. Hey, quit bringing that mule through here. Hey, get that donkey out of here. Shh, be quiet. We'll hear what he's got to say. And when they gave him audience to this word, verse 22, then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth. Begone with him, for it is not fit that he should live. What do we see one more time? The word of the Lord, the word of God being done, right? In opposition. We see it again. It's there. Paul was unable to finish his testimony. He was not able to finish his testimony because they are not interested in the work of the Lord. They heard the word Gentiles. They heard that he claims that God is sending him to the Gentiles. They say, no. No, no, no. It can't be. It won't be. We will not suffer it. He's got much more of his testimony at this point. Does he not have 3 missionary journeys that he hadn't even told about? He does. Has he not seen the salvation of the Gentiles on those journeys? Yes. But they won't even let him finish because I think it seems that he would tell them. But they say, no, not this. We cannot suffer this. And then we find out that it is indeed revealed that they are not interested in the work of the Lord. You know, it went on to say there in chapter 9, there in that portion that we read, took a look at, about him being sent from Damascus, sent to Jerusalem. And it went on to say here, let me read it for you, in Acts 9, 28, he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, disputed with the Grecians, but they went about the slain. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. There's that part about being sent down to Caesarea, on to Tarsus. And where from Tarsus? Went over to Antioch, right? And there where he's separated. He and Barnabas are separated by the Holy Spirit of God to go on those missionary journeys to bring the Word of God in the direction of Europe and Macedonia and Greece. But they would not hear or listen to it. They want him dead. And they don't want the Gentiles included with their God, do they? They don't want the Gentiles included. They don't want God, Jehovah God, being mentioned and the Gentiles being mentioned in the same breath. They, in fact, do have a zeal, but not according to knowledge, don't they? And the Lord has used this man and to carry the word to the Gentiles, but they won't suffer it. At this point, I just want to take and I just want to read a handful of scriptures. Thank God that the Lord did include the Gentiles. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord that he did include the Gentiles. Amen. And you know, for these that are here, and you know, and the Lord dealing with Saul, he's a man that was educated by a man very, very knowledgeable in the scriptures and in the Old Testament scriptures, a man of renown. And he's, and then when the Lord dealt with him, and they're on the road to Damascus, and he says, "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And whether Saul, at the time that he was persecuting the church, he did go to Damascus, chasing down those Jews that were scattered from that kind of persecution. Whether he saw at that time any Gentiles saved or not, or maybe Samaritans saved or not, I don't know. But could it be, and this is just supposition on my part, that Saul, knowing the scriptures and knowing about some of these scriptures, that that he was troubled about the Lord Jesus Christ, the commission being given to the church, and he knew the commission at the time that before he was saved by what the churches were doing, okay? That they would preach to anybody, okay? And could it be that the Lord, some of that pricking on him was just this, that the Lord would take the word of God and take salvation and this about Jesus Christ and take it to the Gentiles? Because I tell you what, if these scriptures are dealt with by a Jew, they speak about the Lord going to call all nations. Out of all nations, some to repentance. And to be a Jew in this day that is not seen or accepted or believed that that Messiah has come, how is it that they deal with them? How is it that they deal with these? Let's take a look at them. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Now, all this need, this passage needs to speak to all of us. What? May God help us not to be short-sighted about our lives and how the Lord would use us. Nobody wants to brag about themselves, and nobody wants to, you know, wants to be right in character and attitude before the Lord. We don't want to say that we're any great person or anything like that. But we need to realize and understand that we can be used of the Lord in a great, great way. And the Lord will take care of how that'll be. But we need to be obedient now. Okay? Abraham's expectation was whatever the Lord told him, he believed and knew that the Lord would do. But he didn't count himself as some great one. He counted the Lord as the great one. And he heard him and believed him, okay? But listen to what this passage says. Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. Verse 17. "That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies." Verse 18. "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Hear that? That's what the Lord said. The Lord said, because you've obeyed my voice, there's going to be a blessing here to thy seed. Now I want you to look over here real quick in Galatians chapter 3. And listen to the Apostle Paul as the Lord, through him, using him, explains about this passage. That we just read here in Genesis chapter 22. He's talking about the law. Here in Galatians 3, he's talking about Christ being made a curse for us, curse everyone that hangs on a tree, Galatians 3:13, "that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant." This is talking about agreements or wills that men make. "Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereunto." If a man sets testament or a will or has an agreement with another man, it's set. It's a done deal. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Well, we read over here, I believe, as the Lord says it in Genesis 22:17, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed at the stars of heaven. Now, unto Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant which was confirmed before God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that should be made, that it should make the promise of none effect. Back over here in Genesis 22, I meant to tell you to keep your finger there. He clarifies that this reference in verse 18 of Genesis chapter 22, this word seed, it's talking about Christ. And in thy seed, or if you will, allow me, and in Christ, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Why? Because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, the Lord's got a plan and a purpose, and it can't be thwarted, and it's going to be fulfilled. He's got a people he's going to save, and it can't be thwarted, and it's going to be fulfilled. But I tell you what, folks, there's a dynamic that exists among mankind on the earth. Abraham did believe God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. The Spirit of God did move upon him, and he was convicted about what the Lord said. But he did move in faith. Why? Because he's made a new man. He's made a new creature.
Amen.
And he believed the Lord. And because he obeyed the Lord, Jesus Christ came from him, through him. Because Mary was a daughter of Abraham. And God the Father, the Spirit of God moved upon Mary, and that holy thing that was conceived within her was the Son of God.
Amen.
But because of obedience. And what did it say there? All the nations. All the nations. Not just the Jews, but also Gentiles like you and me. We go on and take a look here. Let's take a look in Psalms 22. Take a look here. I find that very interesting there about how that's qualified. And now that seed is speaking of Christ. And then how the Lord says to Abraham, because of his obedience. Would Abraham ever thought that of my line will come the Redeemer? And there's not going to be a Redeemer come from us. But what is it that the Lord might use our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren for? If we're obedient to him now. We need to consider that. We need to not be short-sighted about the future, as the Lord is not short-sighted. Psalms 22, verse number 27, the scripture says, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. Here, these scriptures that these Jews in Jerusalem that are there wanting Paul killed, they've not looked at them, have they? They've not remembered them. They've not considered them. Psalms 86. Take a look here. He mentions Gentiles and they pitch a fit. But the Lord has given in the Old Testament scriptures that he's going to purpose to call and save the Gentiles. In Psalms 86, verse number 9. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. Well, that just means that the Lord's people are going to have dominion over the Gentiles. That there's going to be David and of the lineage of David that will rule and reign. over the inhabitants of the earth. Maybe that's what that means. Well, Isaiah 9. There's more, and it gets clearer and clearer. And I just wonder if Saul, knowing about these scriptures and seeing it unrevealed, if this wasn't some of the pricking that the Lord used, not only to be a convicting to him about sin, because he said, I did just fine with the Ten Commandments. I did just great with the whole law, except for that one about coveting. That one about that last of the Ten Commandments about being covetous, that one that turns to the inside, that's the one I had a problem with. That's the one that just tore me up. Because he knew in himself, to be honest with himself, that he had coveted. He had wanted what others had. And I wonder, I don't know, but I wonder if it wasn't so much not their stuff as it was the saints' peace when they gave their life. When Stephen preached, even though it cost him his life, that he coveted faith like that. Because he was a man that was trying and trying and trying and trying and trying. He said, I know that zeal that you all have. Here in Isaiah 9, verse number 1, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. This passage was fulfilled. Turn over here to Matthew 4. Matthew, as he writes, oh, it was right up there against and close to him. In Matthew chapter 4, verse number 12, he sees the Lord, the appearing and the coming of the Lord in the day of his ministry, and the Lord calling him, Matthew, to service, to be one of his disciples, to be in his church, to be an apostle. In Matthew 4, verse 12, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast and the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, as light sprung up.
Amen.
Remember the Syrophoenician woman that came to the Lord? She was a Gentile. She's from up north there where Ephraim used to live. The tribe of Ephraim did. Up there around Tyre and Sidon, if I understand the geography right. She heard about the ministry of the Lord, didn't she? And the Lord just taken and just with the scripture, the Old Testament scripture, and with the advent of the Lord in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh, and then his ministry, and then his final crucifixion and death and burial and resurrection, and then the empowering of his church and his church, he just opened it up more and more and more and more. And it's just opening up more and more and more. How about Isaiah 42? I'll read this to you. Behold, my servant upon whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He goes on to say in verse 6, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thine hand. I will keep thee. I will give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. There in the Old Testament, the Lord told that he was going to call out of all nations. Isaiah 49, take a look over here. What did they do? What do the Jews do today with these passages? In Isaiah 49, verse number 6, we'll pick it up. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up of the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, the Savior, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Praise God.
Amen.
That the Lord was going to call of the nations of the earth his people and save. He didn't have to. He didn't have to. He was not obligated Amen. By any means. But praise his name, he did. Skip on to verse 22. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles. It's becoming more clear, isn't it? It's not just hinting or saying that Israel's going to rule over the other nations, but there's going to be a light shining to the Gentiles. A salvation is what's implied. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. I think that's speaking some about the millennial reign. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Behold, verse number 5. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Praise the Lord for his wonderful salvation. Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah 60, verse number 3. Verse 1, Isaiah 60, verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then shalt thou see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Verse 11. Therefore thy gates shall be opened continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. Verse 16, thou shalt also suck at the milk of the Gentiles, and shalt suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. There's going to be Israel is the Lord's beloved nation and his chosen nation. But there's going to be a blessing that even of the Gentiles, Jew and Gentile alike, will be brethren because of the salvation of the Lord. Oh, what a wondrous thing. What a wondrous thing our Lord has purposed to do and has done. Daniel chapter 7. Take a look over here. And there's some other scriptures in Daniel 7. Daniel chapter 7, verse number 14. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, let's back up verse 13. And I saw in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. Boy, I tell you, when Daniel saw that, don't you know that just blew him away? Caused him to melt within himself. He says it much as at different times. One like the Son of Man. Had Daniel ever seen the Lord? But when he saw him, he knew him, didn't he? Amen. That's the way it is with Jesus. That's the way it is with the Lord. One like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given to him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Hosea, right on there, a few pages more. Hosea chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2, verse 23. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, Thou art my people. And they shall say, Thou art my God. You know, I didn't have a spiritual father till my Heavenly Father, God Almighty, set His love on me. I was an alien. That's right. In and of myself, I was an outcast. In and of myself, as a Gentile, not even having the blessing of having a connection to the Lord's nation, and not all those of the nation will be saved, right. But not even having that blessing, I indeed was a dog.
Amen.
But made a son.
Amen.
By the Lord. Oh, what a blessing.
Amen.
To those that were not a people, Thou art my people. Malachi chapter 1, verse 11. For from the rising of the sun, even into the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts.
Amen.
I'm glad the Lord purposed to save this heathen.
Amen.
I mean, away from the Lord. Not even from that standpoint, like I mentioned earlier, about being a part of Israel and Israel being that to which the Word of God came. But I was gone and off, separated, divided from even the Lord's nation. And the Lord has taken this heathen and made him His own. Ephesians chapter 3. Take a look over here. And here to the church at Ephesus, the Apostle Paul is being used of the Lord to explain this very thing to them. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 1, For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation, or the responsibility is what that's talking about, of the grace of God which is given me to you word, when the Lord told him at Jerusalem, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. He told him on the road to Damascus, or at Ananias's, or there where he was there in Damascus when Ananias came to him. He told him what he wanted him to do and what he purposed for him to do. And then he reminded him in Jerusalem and in other things. The Lord gave him that directive. And he's telling the church at Ephesus and the children of God there in the church at Ephesus, said, I've got a responsibility. I've been given a responsibility by God to you. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, that he included you too.
Amen.
Not just his nation, but of the heathen he's chosen a people. Of the heathen he's going to call a people. Of the heathen he has called you, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. It was told about there buried in the Old Testament, wasn't it? But it was in there with a lot of other stuff, wasn't it? But it was in there. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, by the good news of God that God's going to step in and do something for us that we can't do. That's what the gospel's been all along. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Doesn't the Great Commission to the Lord's church, doesn't it speak the same? That the Lord was going to include the Gentiles. Turn over to Matthew 28. You're familiar with it. You know, it's right there. And it's easy to look over. But with this point in mind, we can see it really stand out clear. Hear the Lord with his apostles here and with the 11, as this account tells. In Matthew 28, verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Not just Israel. Not just those that have some Israeli blood in them. But teach them all. And teach them all what? The same thing. The gospel. When they repent and believe, are saved by the Lord, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and then teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And John says, amen. Amen. Back in Acts chapter 22, Paul tries to tell them, and they reject what he says. But praise God that they didn't have their way. Amen?
Amen.
But praise the Lord that he had a purpose and plan.